So the bishop told him, there's not many people on the face of the earth who are on the same path that we are on. But there is a bishop in Nasibin, or in Al-Mawsil first. He told him in Al-Mawsil, I can direct you towards him. And then he passed away and died. So Salman al-Farsi traveled now from Syria all the way to Iraq. He went to Al-Mawsil. When he arrived to Al-Mawsil and he met with the bishop over there, Salman al-Farsi said he was like his predecessor. Same righteousness, piety, good deeds, passing his day in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, simple life, devoted to ibadah. But that bishop only lasted for so long. He was very old too. And Salman al-Farsi did not have a chance to spend a lot of time with him. So when he was passing away, he told him, direct me to somebody similar. So he gave him the same answer. He said, there's not a lot of people like us living today. But I can direct you towards the bishop of Nasibin. Again, in Al-Sham. So now he's traveling from Iraq to Syria. And this travel is not easy in those days. Going back and forth, crossing deserts, very difficult. He was doing this, subhanAllah, look at the sincerity that Salman al-Farsi had in his heart. He gave his life, he gave his whole life for the search of truth. And now he's traveling back towards Syria, to Nasibin. And he went there and the same thing happened. This priest was passing away. So Salman al-Farsi is now telling him, direct me to somebody else. So this time he was directed to Amuriya, fi ard al-Rum, in the land of the Romans. Now he's going to the Roman Empire, in what is present-day Turkey, the Byzantine Empire, which is the Eastern Roman Empire. So he traveled all the way to Turkey, to Amuriya. And he settled with the bishop in Amuriya. At that time, Salman al-Farsi said, I started doing some business and I was able to collect a certain amount of money. I had a flock of sheep with me. I've made some money doing my presence with the bishop in addition to serving the bishop and learning from him. And then when the bishop was passing away, I told him, I want you to direct me to somebody like you. And he told him his story, obviously. This time the bishop told me, I told him, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who is on the same track. There isn't anybody else. But this is the time when Allah is sending a prophet. This is the time of the final prophet. And his signs are 1, 2, 3. Number one, he does not accept charity. Number two, he accepts gifts. Meaning that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not accept charity or almsgivings. He does not accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purified him and Ahlul Bayt from accepting sadaqah. But he does accept gifts from people. And the third sign is that you will find on his back, between his shoulders, the seal of prophethood, which is the size of an egg, and it's on his upper back, between his shoulders. These are the three signs that this bishop was able to give Salman al-Farsi. But there are some other signs, these are the ones he told Salman al-Farsi about. He told them, where will this prophet originate? They told, he was told, in the land of the Arabs. In that particular era of history, the land of the Arabs was only the Arabian Peninsula. Even though there are few Arab tribes in Iraq, in Syria, in Palestine, in Jordan, but the land of the Arabs was the Arabian Peninsula. And he told him that this prophet will migrate to an oasis in the desert, an oasis of palm trees. This is an additional sign he gave him. So he gave him three signs about the Prophet himself and one sign about the location. And he passed away. Salman al-Farsi said, I met with a caravan from Bani Kalb, an Arab tribe called Bani Kalb. And I told them, carry me with you to your land. And I will pay you all of this money. All of the wealth that Salman al-Farsi gathered during his presence in Turkey, he said, I will pay it to you. Just deliver me, take me to the land of the Arabs. This is a difficult journey, crossing the desert, and only the Arabs could do it. Not anybody can come from anywhere in the world and dare to travel in the Arabian Peninsula. So he was willing to pay them all of this money, all of his wealth, in order for them to take him to the land of the Prophet. So they agreed and they carried him until they got to Arabia. They broke their promise. They betrayed Salman al-Farsi and they sold him as a slave to a Jewish man from Wadi al-Qura. So they betrayed Salman al-Farsi. They took all of his wealth and then they claimed that he's a slave. And this is a claim that he couldn't dispute. That's it. You're a slave for the rest of your life. So Salman al-Farsi was sold as a slave to this Jewish man from Wadi al-Qura. Salman al-Farsi said, when I was taken to Wadi al-Qura, I thought that this was the land of the Prophet because there were some palm trees there. He said, so I stayed there and I worked. He was a slave. He worked with his for his master for a while in Wadi al-Qura. But then a man from Banu Qurayza in Medina, came to Wadi al-Qura and purchased me. And he took me with him to Medina. As soon as I saw Medina, I knew that this is it. This is the place I was told about. He somehow felt some doubts about Wadi al-Qura. It had some resemblance, but when he saw Medina, he knew that this is the place. This was the place that was described to me. So now, all what I have to do is just wait. And he never knows when the Prophet is going to come. I mean, Salman al-Farsi was told that the Prophet could come out any time. There wasn't any specific date given. So Salman al-Farsi was now a slave in Medina. You see, from being the keeper of the fire in his land, a very honorable and high position of authority and respect. And now he's a slave in Arabia, in a foreign land. And he was doing all of that to search for the truth. Salman al-Farsi said one day, I was working in, he was on top of a palm tree. And his master was beneath him. And then his nephew came. Either the nephew or the brother of his master came running and said, قاتل الله بني قيلة. May Allah kill the children of قيلة. The Jews used to call the Aus wal-Khazraj Banu قيلة. So this man said, may Allah kill Banu Qayla. They all left Medina to Quba to greet a man who claims to be a prophet. That was the hijrah. So Salman al-Farsi was in Medina while Rasulullah was already alive preaching in Mecca, but he had no idea about it. He was a slave. He's not receiving any news and information. And now he hears a man come in and say that the prophet is in Quba, a few kilometers outside of Medina. Salman al-Farsi said, فَأَخَذَتْنِي الْعُرَوَىٰ. Salman al-Farsi said, a chill ran in my back. And I stumbled down the palm tree. He said, I was almost going to fall and land over my master. He was so excited when he heard the news. He said, this chill ran through my back and I just fell down from the palm tree. It came running down from the palm tree. And I almost landed on my master and I went running to the man and said, what are you talking about? Can you say that again? Salman al-Farsi says, my master looked at me and he slapped me in my face and said, go back to work. You have no business asking about this stuff. I mean, you're a slave. It's none of your business to ask about a prophet or who came and who went. Go back to work. Salman al-Farsi said, I couldn't wait until nightfall. I took some food that I've gathered with me. And I went to Quba to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I came to him and I told him, I've heard that you and your companions have came here as guests and you are new to the area. Since you might be in need, I brought you this food as a sadaqah, charity. So please have some. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the food and he placed it in front of him and he told his companions, come and eat. But he did not join them. Salman al-Farisi said, that's sign number one. He said, I went back. He said, the next day, I brought some more food. So Salman al-Farisi has to work, he has to go for the full business day and wait until night and then travel to Quba. This was not easy. And imagine the urgency that Salman al-Farisi is feeling. I mean, after waiting years and years, and now the man who says that he's a prophet is right there. And he's waiting all of these hours until he can go and visit him. So Salman al-Farisi said, the next day I went and I presented some food to the Messenger of Allah. And I told him, last night I presented you with some food and I told you that this is charity. But I didn't see you eat from it. So this time I have some food and I want to give it to you as a gift. Have some. And he placed the food in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba to come and eat and he joined them. Salman al-Farisi said, that's sign number two. Then Salman al-Farisi said, I visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later and I came when they were burying. They were in a janazah. And I walked behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I was looking over his shoulders, trying to peek through his clothes to see the seal of prophethood. Salman al-Farisi said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood what I was looking for, so he uncovered his shoulders for me. Without Salman al-Farisi speaking, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what Salman al-Farisi was looking for because he was peeking and trying to look under the clothes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see something in his back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uncovered his shoulders. Salman al-Farisi said, and I saw the seal of prophethood right in front of my eyes. He said, I could not hold myself from the happiness. And I jumped and I hugged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he hugged him because he was behind him, so he hugged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from behind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, come in front of me. And he sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah told him, tell me your story. Why are you doing this? So Salman al-Farisi told Ibn Abbas, so I told him my story just like I'm telling it to you now.